The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
B'simanat Taba, Masechet Gittin. Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Dafei Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Ishmerem V'Hayem. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit and Hatzlachan Harvacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Marat Zekenati Yafa Batzara Umor Zekeni Yosef Ben Sarav Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther Ve'Shelomo Rafael Shelomo Ben Rivka Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Ruach Shelema Moshe Mendina Sarah Ruhama Batrachel Besarah Batrachel
Gilson
Bat Sophia. אלא לפנה להם רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף ורפואתם קרבה לבוא וכן ירסום ונאמר אמן. We begin the מסכת מסכת גיטין דף בית, right with the beginning משנה. Now, just as an introduction, we may question immediately, why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh put Masechet Gittin before Masechet Kiddushin? Why did he talk about divorce before he talks about getting married? Seemingly it's the opposite. First you get married. So there's several answers that were given. Harambam says that it's following the order of the Torah. The Torah says, when it talks about getting married, it says v'yatze'a v'hayeta li'ish acher. So v'yatze'a, there's yitzi'ah from one husband, or, and then she goes to a different one. So that's the order of the Torah. There's a sefer called Mar'ei Yechezkel. He says that there's a remez over here for when it comes to making teshuvah. Because the rabbis tell us, kol mi she'enu yodea betiv gitin v'kiddushin, anybody that doesn't know the laws of gitin and kiddushin, lo ye'esek imahem, you shouldn't get involved in them. These are technical laws. Unless you're an expert in it, you shouldn't get involved in it. So he says the same thing. It should have said, whoever doesn't know the laws of kiddushin and gitin. So he comes along and says that first a fellow has to know tiv gitin. Gitin means getting rid of the averot. Girushin, getting rid of the sins. And only if the person gets rid of his sins, girushin, then you can make kiddushin. Then already you can become pure. That's like the pasuk that says, sur mera va'aseh tov. Therefore, first, on Pia Musar, first you have girushin from the averot, and then you make a kiddushin. Others have said, which is an interesting answer as well, that in the book Seder Nashim, which we're in now, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he put the thing, the Mishnayot in order, it's an order of how many Pirakim are in the Masechet. So they explain like this, that Masechet Yevamot, which is the first Masechet, has 16 Pirakim. Ketubot, 13 Pirakim. Nidarim, 11 Pirakim. Nazir, 9 Pirakim. Sota, also 9 Pirakim. Gittin, 9 Pirakim. And Kiddushin, 4 Pirakim. So if it's going in descending order of how many Pirakim each Masechet has. Last but not least, our rabbis tell us that there is a famous saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always is Magdim Refu'ah LeMakah. God always gives you the remedy before He gives you the sickness. Now in this case, we would never call Kiddushin a sickness, Chas V'Shalom, but any businessman will tell you that before you go into a contract or a deal, you have to know how you can get out of it. And therefore, you have to have an exit strategy. And therefore, the Torah comes along and says, before we're going to bind you into a kiddushin, which is a very severe contract, you have to know how you're able to get out of it. So the exit strategy is given first, Magdim Refuah Lemakah. In any event, our Masechet begins in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins. Now, the shtar, the contract that's used to give a divorce is called the get. And I want you to know that, generally speaking, any contract can be called a get. Get is a it's a neutral terminology. Even a monetary document can be called a get. Get is really a shtar. But the most common usage of the word get is by get isha, is by the divorce shtar that's given to a lady. Tosafot, right away on the top Tosafot, comes and tells us why they refer to a get as a get, meaning that to divorce a lady. So he says, because the custom is that a get has 12 lines. And he says the gematria of the word get is 12. And therefore it's a remez to the seder of a get. The Gaon Mevilna has a fantastic hadush on the word get. And he comes along and says that if you look in the entire Torah, you'll never find the letters Gimel and Tet next to each other. And therefore, it's alluding that these two letters don't get along. And therefore, it's very appropriate for these letters to refer to a couple that doesn't get along, and therefore, they write a get. In any event, it's interesting to note that there was a certain city in the islands that was called Gita. And the reason why they called it Gita, the Gemara says, Shemigareshit, it called Havrute, it would reject any foreigners. So you see, the word Gita also has that meaning of rejection. In any event, the Mishnah begins, Hamevi get me medina tayyam. Now, let's discuss. A get is able to be given in several ways. The most common way would be that the husband gives the get directly to his wife. That's the most common way of giving a get. However, if let's say the husband is in Medina Tayyam, means he's b'chutz la'aretz, he's outside of the land of Israel, and he's not looking to make a trip to Israel. His wife is in Israel. So he's able to designate a shaliach. The Gemara says in many places, Shiluho shel Adam kemoto, that a person's agent is like him. And therefore he can give the get to his agent, and his agent makes the trip to Eretz Yisrael, or wherever it may be, to give the get to the wife. Now, the get does not take place until the wife receives the get. That means technically, so long as the shaliach is still holding it, the husband technically can back out. So we're discussing today a specific case of a husband that designated a shaliach in order to bring a get to his wife. So the Mishnah says, "Hamevi get mimedina tayam." If a person, a husband, he's bringing a get from Medina Tayam through a shaliach, and Rashi right away comes along and says, "Medina Tayam," that's overseas, "Kol chutz la'ares kari le Medina Tayam." Now, all of outside of Israel is called Medina Tayam. Bar b'Bavel, except for Bavel, which we'll see why Bavel is the exception. In any event, Tosafot comes along and right away just points out, how come the Mishnah didn't say a more simple terminology? And mevi get mechutz la'aretz. You know, chutz la'aretz is the way we understand outside of Israel. Why does the Mishnah use mimedina tayam? You know, from the cities that are overseas. So Tosafot comes along and says that the reason why it shows that is because chutz la'aretz is mashma anywhere in chutz la'aretz, even cities that are close to Eretz Yisrael. And the point of our Mishnah, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that the law that we're going to read today only applies to places that are far from Eretz Yisrael. Therefore the terminology Medina Tayyam, because on the side of Israel that has the water, so the next closest city is beyond the Mediterranean. Medina Tayyam is overseas, that's a far place. If you would say chutz la'aretz, you might come to include even cities that are close to Eretz Yisrael, hence the terminology Medina Tayyam. And then even, what's the law? So the law is, Sarikh Shiyomar Bifanai Nikhtav U Bifanai Nikhtam. The famous law of Bifanai Nikhtav U Bifanai Nikhtam. The Shaliach, when he delivers the gift to give it to the lady, he must say in front of witnesses that I saw the gift written by the sofer and the witnesses that signed on the get, because every get is a legal document, it has to have edim that sign on the get itself. So the shaliach says b'fanai nihtam, the get was signed in front of me as well. And we don't know why he has to say this, which means he has the document in his hand, it's signed already, it should be enough for him just to deliver the get. What does he have to make this declaration? I was there for the writing of it, I was there for the signing of it. Well, that she says, Sarich hashaliach hamivio lomar v'ta'ama mefaresh b'gemara. So we'll trust that she to wait for the Gemara to see the reason. V'shaliach ze haba'al asa'o shaliach leholacha. Now she points out to us that the shaliach obviously was designated by the husband, because the shaliach cannot work on his own, he has to be appointed by the husband. The Mishnah continues. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Afa mevi min ha-rekem u min ha-heger. Rekem and Heger are two cities. Now she says, Targum shel ben Kadesh u ben Bared. The Torah, it talks about two cities, Kadesh and Bared. Metargiminan ben Rekem leHeger. And therefore, these cities, according to the Mishnah, are outside Eretz Yisrael. And the Chiddush over here is, even though they are close to the border of Eretz Yisrael, Rabban Gamliel argues on Tanna Kamma, not only do you have to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam on the far off cities, but you even have to say it on the close cities like Rekem and Heger. Good. Comes the Mishnah and continues. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afilu mikfar ludim lelod. Kfar ludim, Rashi says, is in Chutz La'aretz, and Lod is Sheis Simuchala, v'im Eretz Yisrael. So we really have to see what he's coming to Eretz. It's another example of two cities that are close to each other. One is Chutz La'aretz, and one is in Eretz Yisrael. We just said that the rabbi says that even cities that are close. We'll wait for the Gemara again to get all the clarity. Let's just get the meaning of the words. V'chamim omrim, you don't have to say it in that case, because the city is close to Chutz La'aretz, to Israel. Only when you bring from a far off place. Now, and if you go the opposite way, if you go to Eretz Israel to Medina Tayam. So it's not only Hamevi, but also Hamolich. Molich means you're going from Israel to Medinat Hayam. Now again, all this sounds vague to you because you don't know the reason yet. Once you hear the reason from the Gemara, all this right away starts to make more sense. Now let's say you're bringing the get in Chutz La'aretz from one province to another province in Chutz La'aretz. Still, you have to say the shaliach, that is, that it was written in front of me and signed as well. Rabban Shemom Gamliel Omer, Afilu mehegmonia lehegmonia. Hegmonia mehegmonia, as she says, even one city that has two hegmons. Hegmon would be like a governor, which means sometimes in Chutz La'aretz you would have one city that was divided under two separate governments. And therefore, that's considered, according to the halacha, as one city to the next. Now, we're talking about over here where the two governments did not get along with each other. And therefore, there is dissension between the two. And therefore, even in the same city that is under two different rulerships to Hegmonim, the Shaliach has to say, B'fanai Nechtab or B'fanai Nechtab. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is going to give us the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So you know what's considered Chutz La'aretz. So he gives us the borders to all directions. Number one, Merekim leMizrach, from the city of Rekim and going east, that's already considered Chutz La'aretz. Verekim kaMizrach, and Rekim itself is considered Chutz La'aretz on the eastern border. MeAshkelon leDarom, from Ashkelon to the south, veAshkelon kiDarom, and Ashkelon is considered part of the south, which means Chutz La'aretz. Now the Tosafot on this over here takes this Mishnah to task over here, because it's master from our Mishnah that Ashkelon is not part of Eretz Yisrael, and he questions that. We look in the book of Yoshua, what was one of the cities that he conquered, Ashkelon, which is definitely part of Eretz Yisrael. So he wants to say to Ben Hutam that you're right. In Kivush Rishon, in the first conquest, Ashkelon was part of Eretz Yisrael, but when the Olei Bavel came and they made a second conquest, they did not annex Ashkelon as part of Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishnah is referring to that time. Now, we could also say a different answer, Tosfot says. Tosfot offers another answer that you're right. Ashkelon is considered part of Eretz Yisrael for the laws of Eretz Yisrael. But since Ashkelon is far from the settlement of Eretz Yisrael proper, so for the laws of Gittin, it has a law of Chutz La'aretz. In any event, Me'ako la'safon ve'ako k'safon, on the northern border, Ako is the border, and Ako is considered outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now you notice in the Mishnah, well, it gave me all the directions, it didn't give me the west. Because it doesn't have to give me the west, because you have the Mediterranean on the west. So it's obvious that anything past the Mediterranean is Chutz La'aretz. Very good. The Bimeir Omer, Ako k'Eretz Yisrael legitin. The Bimeir argues, says regarding Gittin, Ako has a deen of Eretz Yisrael. And again, we wait for the Mishnah to explain this. Now let's read Rashi. Look at Rashi. The Bimeir Omer, Mirekim the Mizrach, Mirekim ad sofa olam le Mizracho. Which means from Rekim to the end of the world, going east, Havi Medinat Hayam, that's overseas. Verekim Atzma Nidonet Kemizrach HaOlam Velo Keretz Yisrael. What do you have to know that for? Vamevim Rekim. Therefore, if you're bringing a get from the city of Rekim, Sarich Lomar Befanai Nechtam Befanai Nechtam Vechen Kulam Rekim LeMizrachot Shel Eretz Yisrael VeHutzala VeAshkelon LeDroma VeAkol LeSfuna Aval Ma'arav Shel Eretz Yisrael the West and Sarich Gevul. Why? Shayam Gadol Gevula. The Mediterranean is its border. Kedichtiv Ugbul Yam VeYalechem Hayam Gadol. Comes the Mishnah and concludes and says, Amevi get be'eretz Yisrael. If you're bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael itself, Eno sarich shiomar b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam, which means the shaliach just brings the get, delivers it to the lady, does not have to make any declaration. Says the Mishnah, v'im yesh alav oririm yitkayim b'chotama. But you have a problem now. Let's say the husband comes along and questions the validity of the get, which is, let's say the husband comes along and says the get is pasul for some reason, which means could be the husband changed his mind. Right now, when the shaliach got there and he delivered the get, the husband says, "Hey, the get is pasul for whatever reason. I didn't write it in the Shema, or I didn't do it for the right purposes, whatever it may be." So now you have a problem, because if the husband claims that the get is pasul, you got to deal with him. So then the Mishnah says, in that case, yitkayim bechotamav. You establish the validity of the get through its signatories. Now, how do you do that? So Rashi tells us, im yesh alav oririn she'ba'al me'arer shu mizuyaf. The husband claims it was forged. Yitkayim bechotamav. Now, how do you establish it? Ve'im ya'idu ha'edim al hatimat yedem. Either you bring the witnesses themselves that signed the get, and they testify that that is indeed their signatures, then the document is valid, no matter what the husband says. Or edim acherim yakiru hatimatam. Or you bring other witnesses that say, we recognize their signatures, this is the signatures of these witnesses, they can compare, let's say, to other documents, kashir. Now, v'im en alav oririm, but let's say nobody's questioning the validity of the get, mistama kashir. You assume that the get is kasher de'ab b'ki'im lishma ve'edim mitzuyim tamid l'kayyemo k'daminu b'gemara bate dinim kivu'im. Now, let's speak this out, because she's telling us a lot of things here. When a guy brings a get in Eretz Yisrael, there's always a chance that the get is pasul. You don't know. But Rashi says, until the husband opens his mouth to question the validity of the get, you gotta assume that the get is kasher. Number one. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, the assumption is they were baki in the laws. They were fluent in the laws of a get. One integral law of a get is the get must be written lishma. What does lishma mean? it has to be written for the lady that is getting divorced. For example, let's say a husband finds a get in the street that happens to have his name in it, and it has his wife's name as Rachel. It's also in the get. That's not Lishma. It was written for Rachel, a different one. So he happens to pick up the get. If it wasn't written Lishma, the Pasuk says, Vechatav la Sefer Keritut, the Gemara is going to be Doresh, la Lishma. In Eretz Israel, the courts, they were fluent with this law of Lishma. And therefore, until the husband comes along and questions the validity of the get, you have to assume that the get is 100% kasher, and you have to assume also that the witnesses that signed it, there's no question about their validity. That's what we don't make in Eretz Israel, the shaliach make any declaration. When he brings the get, you assume that it's kasher until the husband opens his mouth. Now once the husband opens his mouth, now already you got to deal with it. Now how do you deal with it? So that she gives us one of two ways. You go with the shtar itself. Either you bring the witnesses themselves to testify that that was their signature. Once the signatures say that that was their handwriting and they signed it, I don't care what the husband says, to get this cash in. Or you're able to bring witnesses that come along and say, we know the signature of these guys and that's their signature. The document is validated with two eidim. There's nothing stronger than two eidim. So even if the husband's a wise guy, come along and says, no, it's a fake, whatever, it's forged, too late. The witnesses that signed it must have known what they were doing. And in Eretz Yisrael, since they know the laws of Lishma, therefore you have to assume that what? The get is indeed kasher. That is the law of our Mishnah. Good. Okay. Comes the Gemara and begins. My ta'ma. Now we're really getting into the logic of the Mishnah. What's the reason why a guy that brings a get, a shaliyah from Medinat Yam, why does the Hachamim make him say, Bifanai nikhtav u bifanai nikhtam, that I saw it written in front of me, and I said, what's the reason? My ta'ma. Gemara says, Rabba amar, lefi she'en biki'im lishma. Oh. Since in Chutz La'aretz, we're not so sure that the rabbis or the Bedin or whoever's writing the get, that they were fluent with the laws, or really the people, I should say. And therefore you're concerned that maybe the get was not written Lishma. So what is Bifanai Nikhtav and Bifanai Nikhtam going to help you with the get written Lishma? So that she says, En bene medina tayam bene Torah. People living outside of Eretz Yisrael, they're not really bene Torah. They don't know too much. Ve'en yud'in shesarich lichtov haget l'shem ha'isha. They don't know the law that the get has to be written for the sake of that lady. Ve'kra ketiv ve'chatav la sefer kiritut. La dahaynu l'shma. Hilkach omer ha'shaliach b'fanai nechtam u'fanai nechtam. When the guy, the shaliach that comes along is going to say, hey, I saw the witnesses sign it, that really doesn't tell me too much. But you know what's going to lead me to do? That leads us to ask the guy, Im nichtav lishma. Oh, you saw them sign it? You saw it written? So we're going to ask him, hey, was the get written lishma? Vehu omer im. And he's going to say, yes. Which means the Gemara is going to ask later on, why don't you just make the guy say, Bifanai nechtav lishma? What do you have to make like this? A give and take of? He's going to say, I saw it written. Then we're going to ask him, oh, you saw it written? Can we ask you a question? Was it written for the sake of this lady? He's going to say, absolutely. Then the get is going to be kashir. That's the way that she is understanding that when the reason why you have to say Bifanai nechtav or Bifanai nechtam is to validate that the shtar is lishma. Why do you have to do that in Chutz La'aretz? Because they're not careful in the halachot. Now Tosfot says, well, if they're not careful in the halachot, there's a lot of halachot besides lishma they could mess up. But why are you only fixing the lishma? Maybe they don't know the law. Maybe they wrote the get. Maybe they wrote it in the day and they signed it at night. Different halachot that make the get pasul. So Tosfot comes along in the name of Rabbeinu Tam at the end of the second Tosafot on the page, and he comes along and says, Right, the top Tosfot, the second Tosfot, the Im Tomar. Maishena lishma de'en bekin, mishma l'chot gitin. Kegon mechubad, you don't have to write the shtar if it's mechubad to the karka, or they change the names, etc. So Tosfot comes along and he says, mefaresh lebenutam, little way down, debechol alachot gitin bekin. They knew all the other laws. Ela dehag derasha devechatav la lishma, ena nir'item ikar derasha. Ve'en bekin pirush en hosheshim lidrasha de lishma. Which means the law of lishma is learned from a derasha v'chatav la. So there are honest people; they don't know that the word la is coming to teach them the word lishma that has to be written for the sake of that lady. So the other laws they understand, but they don't doresh the word lishma, and therefore la. Therefore, you have to say mefarai nechtav. That's the reason of rabba with the top line in the Gemara. Rava Amar lefi she'en edim mitzuyim lekayemo. Totally different reason. In Chutz La'aretz, you're not going to have witnesses that are available to validate the witnesses that are in the shtar. The get was written in Eretz Yisrael. It was written in Eretz Yisrael. He sent it to Chutz La'aretz with a shaliyah. The assumption of the Gemara is that there's not a lot of traveling between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, and therefore, in all odds, the get is never going to be able to be validated because the witnesses that signed in Eretz Yisrael, there's not going to be anybody in Chutz La'aretz that are going to be able to say we recognize these witnesses. It's in two different countries. Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, as she says, second as she on the daf, en shayarot mitzuyot misham lekan. Right? There's no trains, there's no traffic between the two countries. Sheim yavua baal v'yarel lomar lo ketaftiv. Sheyu edim mitzuyim nakir hatimat te'edim. Because if the husband's going to come along now and say, hey, I didn't write the get, how are you going to prove him wrong? There's not going to be anybody in Chutz La'aretz as being able to say that I saw the witnesses, I know their signature. Therefore, the rabbis believed the shaliach to say, I saw the witnesses sign the get. Now listen, I'm going to explain to you again. It's very important to get what Rava is saying over here. The guy brings the get to Medinat Tayyan, right? He gives it to the lady. What happens now if the husband's going to come along and say, I didn't write this get. I don't know what this get is, a forge. Now, the only way you could prove the husband wrong is you got to do something with the witnesses. The problem is, there's no traffic between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. There's not going to be anybody in Chutz La'aretz that can come along and say, oh yeah, I know these signatures. So now the lady's stuck. The husband's claiming the get is mezuyaf. How are you going to kosher the get? So Rava says, you know how you kosher it? Let the shaliach say, we saw the witnesses, sign it, and we saw everything. Now, even though the shaliach is one guy, and we have to ask a good question, how do you believe one guy? Which means it's one against one. I mean, the husband's saying it's forged, and this one shaliach saying, I saw. Why does the shaliach have more ne'emanut than the husband? But for whatever purpose is, the Gemara is saying, that's the reason why you send the farai nechtav. So let's crystallize this machlok as a great machloket that you have to know in Shas, the machloket between Rava and Rabba, the reason why a shaliach was said has to say Befarai Nechtav. According to the first opinion, Rabba, it's because they're not Baki Bishlishma. So therefore, the Befarai Nechtav validates the shtar that it was written the Shema, because we're going to ask them, oh, you saw it written? Can we ask a question? Do you know that when the husband wrote the shtar, did he write it for the sake of this lady? He'll say, absolutely. So that's like an introduction to find out if the shtar was written, lishma. But Rava says, I'm not worried about lishma. Lishma, they know lishma. I'm worried about if the husband's going to come along and say, hey, this get over is a fake. How are you going to validate it? Well, let somebody come and testify about the witnesses. There's nobody around. En shayarot mitzuyot. Oh, so the way you validate it is the shaliach is going to say, no, I saw them sign it. Befanai nechtav, ubefanai nechtam, I saw the witnesses. So you're really trusting the shaliach that he's validating the witnesses for us. So now the Gemara asks, Mai benayu. Now let's get the technique of a Mai benayu. By Benayu always, whenever you have two rabbis that are giving two different arguments of two different reasons, what's the nafkamina? Give me a case where the two reasons will bring a different result. By Benayu, meaning give me a case where according to Rabba the law will be one thing and according to Rabba the law will be another thing. You've seen my Benayu many times, but that's the technique of it. So the Gemara gives a few examples. Ika Benayu, number one. Let's say the husband appointed not one shaliach, but appointed two shalichim. So now you got two shalichim that come and deliver the get. Well, let's speak it out ourselves. According to the opinion that says that the reason why you have to say b'fanai nechtam and b'fanai nechtam is because we're not sure that the get was written lishma, I don't care how many people you bring to deliver the get, you still have to say b'fanai nechtav because I'm concerned that maybe the get was not written lishma. So therefore, even if 100 people deliver the get, you're still going to have to ask them, did you see them sign it? Was it lishma? But according to the opinion that says that the whole reason you need it is why is because we're concerned that nobody's going to be able to validate the... Here you have two people already. So they're not going to have to say b'fanai nechtav because the two people are there. So if the husband comes along and says, hey, it's a forge, there's two guys that are saying, hey, we were there, we saw it. The two people are there already, are there. Look at Rashi. Da'atyuhu betre. Vishnehem na'asu shiduhim de'garesha. My husband appointed two guys to deliver the get. Ve'aget yotzim mita'at yedishnehem. Right? The two guys deliver the get. Le'rabba ba'el le'memar. Quite Rabba that says the inyan is lishma. I don't care how many people deliver the get. Le'rabba lo ba'el le'mar. Shereshnaim envim ya'ar e'er ba'al. Le'em mitzuyim le'kayimu. If the husband comes along and has a claim, they're there to come along and say it is legitimate. So therefore you have no problem. Comes the Gemara and says another nafkamina. Iname me medina le medina be'eres Israel. Oh, let's talk about in Israel itself, from one province in Israel to another province. Let's speak it out. According to the opinion of Lishma, I don't need to say b'fanai nechtav, because in Eretz Israel, they're fluent in Lishma. So even if it's one province to another, but according to the reason that says that there's no traveling between provinces, so therefore, even in Eretz Israel, from one province to another, according to Rava, you'd have to say b'fanai nechtav, because there's not going to be witnesses in one province to another to mekayim the star. So there will be enough kavina intra-Israel itself, from one province to another. Let's read Rashi. She gives us two places, Yehuda and Galil. Since at this point we're assuming that even in Israel from one province to another is not traveling, right, for the Lishma reason, you're okay, because it is said in Baki. But according to Rava, even in Israel, from one province to another, since there's no traffic, so how's the star going to be validated by the guy saying, third nafkamina, which means in the same Medina, which means in Medina Tayyam, which means everything happened in one province. The husband sent it from the same province and delivered it in the same province, in Medina Tayyam. According to the opinion that says, Lishma, you still have to say b'fanai nechtav, because anytime it's chutz la'aretz, you got to make sure that it was written Lishma. But according to the opinion that says that,
Edim,
well, it's in the same province. There'll be somebody in that province that'll be able to validate the witnesses. Therefore, the shaliach does not have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. So there's basically three nafkaminot between the two reasons. Let's review very quickly, just so you have clarity exactly what we're discussing over here. The b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam can solve one of two issues. Number one, it can solve the lishma issue. Now, how does that solve the lishma issue? Because we're going to ask the witness. That prompts us to ask, oh, you saw this? You saw the item written? You saw the get signed? Can we ask you a question? Do you know if it was written lishma? Oh, and anything that's written in Chutz La'aretz, or anything that's sent from Chutz La'aretz, I should say, since in Chutz La'aretz they're not fluent in the laws of Lishma, so therefore when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, when it arrives, you better ask. Mm-hmm. Good. However, according to the second reason is no. The concern is I'm worried about the husband. Now the get gets to Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden the husband comes along and says, the shaliach delivering the get, the husband comes along and surfaces, it's a fake. Now what do you do? The husband's the guy getting divorced. He's coming along saying, but I got a document which the witness is over here. Well, I got a problem. You know why? Because you're going to have a very hard time finding now people in Israel to validate the signatures because it was written in Chutz La'aretz. Now it's in a different place, different country. There's no trains that are going back and forth with people that people know each other. So the only way I can validate it is what? By having the shaliach come along and say, I saw it. I saw the witness's sign. That's a big thing. Even though he's only one guy, but we're going to trust him to validate the... So that validation is to stave off a potential claim of the husband that's going to say that the item is a fake. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question. The Gemara says, Ul Rabba de Amar lefi she'en biki'im lishma. According to Rabba that says that the reason why you have to say b'fanai nichtam, b'fanai nichtam, is because they're not baki lishma, lib'i tereh, which means seemingly you should need two witnesses. Just like we need two witnesses for all full testimony in the Torah. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, fourth line after they get wide. Midi davi akol edut shebatorah kushau. Right, it's a question which means like this. Whose word you trust in that the gate was written the Shema? One guy, the Shaliach. Right, they can ask the Shaliach. Mr. Shaliach, by the way, can you testify to us that this gate was written the Shema? Absolutely. One witness. What's one witness? It's one, you ever believe one witness? Which means, generally speaking, all I do to the Torah, you need two guys. How is he believed? Comes the Gemara and gives an answer, famous answer. Ed echad ne'eman be'isurim. We have a rule. When it comes to things of isur, you believe one witness. For example, Nashi gives me the example. Look at Nashi's examples. Sha'ave imina Torah kol echad ve'echad me'isur lafrashat terumah. Right? Guy comes along, he gives you food. You come along and ask him, hey, did you take terumah? I did. Torah believes him. You don't need two witnesses. To matir something to eat, one witness is enough. Or, for example, v'ala shechita. Right? Guy serves you a piece of meat. You don't know if it's kasher or not. You ask the guy, did you make shechita? I did. You believe him. Or, for that matter, al nikur agid. Did you take out the gid of nasheh? V'acheret. Did you take out the chelet? Which means you see the Torah does give a ne'emanut for when it comes to isur ve'etir, for example, things that are not kosher, things like that, you believe ed'ahad. So the same thing over here, we're going to believe Ed Echad. Now, so it comes out according to Rashi, the source of Ed Echad Ne'eman is we believe a guy that he took his terumah, you believe a guy that made shechita. For that matter, how do you believe your wife when you go home and eat something and she serves you something, is you're trusting Ed Echad again. So we live with this rule of Ed Echad. Tosfot doesn't like Rashi's examples. Tosfot comes along and says, that's not, we don't believe over there because of Ed Echad. That's over there because it's in his ability to fix it. Which means, since it's in the ability to take the terumah, it's his ability to make the shaita, it's his ability to take out the chaylev, therefore, since it's in his ability to do it, when he says he did it, he's believed. That's not the source of edehad. Tosfot says, you know what the source of edehad ne'eman b'yisurin is? It's actually from a pasuk in the Torah. V'safra la. A lady is ne'eman to come along and say, I went to the mikveh. Who says she went to the mikveh? How do we know that she started off from Nida? V'safra la, she's trusted to say she counted the seven nikim. So Tosfot's learning over there. It's really a pasuk in the Torah that teaches us. Ed echad ne'eman b'isurin. Also, the same thing the Gemara would say over here. Therefore, the shaliach comes along and says, I'm telling you over here to get this kosher. Now this is over here, isurin. We're trying to matir a lady to go get married. You want to say to get this good. One witness is going to be enough. Gemara says, not so fast. Gemara says, Imur de amrinan, edechad ne'eman be'esurin, kegon hatika safek shel cherev, safek shel shuman, de lo et hazik isura, aval hakad et hazik isura de eshet ish, הווה דבר שבערווה, ואין דבר שבערווה פחות משניים. כבר עזור. You know when an עד אחד is believed? When he's not going against a hazaka, when he's not going against the status quo, meaning like this, I have a piece of meat in front of me. I don't know, is it chelev, which is not kasher, or is it shuman, which is as kasher? I don't know what it is. It's a safek. One guy comes along and says, I'm telling you it's kasher. You know why? Because the piece of meat did not have a status. I didn't know the status. Therefore, an Ed Echad is able to solve for me a Safik. Masha'en Ken. An Ed Echad does not have the ability to go against an existing status. In this case over here, the lady has a Hezkat Eshet Ish. She's married. To rely on a Shaliach, one guy to come along and take her out of her status of Eshet Ish to say that the get was written in the Shema, where do you see you believe in such a thing? Where do you see that an Ed Echad is Ne'eman against a Hazakah? Now you come along and tell me, hey, Midah, doesn't the lady that, the Tosafot, doesn't the lady that goes to the Mikveh, she's believed against the Chazakah. But Tosafot asked that question, and Tosafot says, if you look at the second to the last Tosafot, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines on the bottom of the Tosafot. Vim Tomar, I ed echad ne'eman b'shar esrin nafidu t'chazek esura. I'm sorry, that's not the one I wanted to read to you. I want to read to you the one before that. Look at the Tosafot. Right before Tosfot Ed Echad Neman Besurin, the bottom line, V'yesh Lomar, V'im Tomar, In Ken Afidu Tchazek Esura, V'yesh Lomar, De'ena Behezkat She'teru Akol Sha'a, which means she doesn't have a Chazakah, the lady, that she's seeing her Nida all the time, U'ksha'avra Shiv'at Tehora Mimela Velo Et Chazek Esura, V'gam V'yadea Litbol, which means Tosafot's coming along to say that she doesn't have a Hezkat Isur, because she doesn't always see, which means she's not always in Ida, and therefore, sometimes she is, sometimes she's not. That's like a piece of Eshet Ish, we know that she is, which is the Ida, it's, sometimes she is, sometimes she isn't, so there, you could assume that after 7 days already, she is Teorah. It's an item that changes status. That's less of a Hazakah. Mashaykh Haskat Eshet Ish, how do you believe one witness? And especially, we have a rule that says, anything that's Dabar Shebe'irva, anything that has to do with Arayot and things like that, you need two witnesses. We learned that from Mamun. Just like by monetary, you need two witnesses. It says the word Davar by monetary, it says the word Davar by Irva. Davar, Davar, we know that you need two witnesses. The difference is asking a very strong question. This business over here of having one shaliach testify that against the Shema. And don't give me this business of Ed Echad Ne'eman Be'esurin. Ed Echad Ne'eman Be'esurin doesn't go against the Hazakat Eshet Ish. You need two. So comes the Gemara and says, comes the Gemara and says, Rov Biki'inen. Oh. I'm going to speak to you outside. You know what the Gemara's ultimate answer is? Really, the majority of people write to get Lishma. Even in Chutz La'aretz, the majority know that you have to write to get Lishma for the sake of the lady. Therefore, min ha-Torah, you really have no problem. Min ha-Torah, the get is really kasher. It's only a rabbinical stringency that we said, since some people don't write to get the Shema, that you're going to need the Shaliach to testify. Now, okay, I don't care. Even rabbinical, you should need to have two witnesses, which means rabbinical law usually follows the same pattern as Torah law. So the rabbi is going to say, you're right, but since it's only rabbinical, we're going to be a little lenient in this law, so the lady does not remain in Aguna. Because if you're going to be strict over here now, that you got to have two guys, till you find the second guy, the lady's stuck that she can't get married. So therefore, really, we're telling like this, really, minat Torah, the get is really kasher. You don't need any test, because rov people know the law. Ella, what are you worried about? You're worried about the minority, the mi'ut. Okay, so you know what? But the rabbis were strict. The rabbis came along and said, you know what? Still, you got to give the Shema. But they waived the law of two witnesses in order not to keep the lady a aguna. Now let's read that inside. The Gemara says, Rov b'ki'inin va'afilu l'Rabbi Meir. And even according to Rabbi Meir, the hayish l'mi'uta, there's a famous shita throughout Shas of Rabbi Meir. He says, you don't go with Rov. He says you have to even suspect to the minority. However, Stam Safre de Dayanim Migmar Gemiri. Who writes the get?
Sofrim.
The Sofrim. So the majority of Sofrim know the law. So even if Kadimir normally suspects to the minority, but in this case over here, the majority of the Sofrim that are writing the get know the law. So really, technically, from Torah law, you got to do nothing. Just deliver the get. You could assume that it's written lishma, even according to the Bimeir. So what do we make of the guy say it at all? V'rabbananu de'atzruch. If the rabbis came along, and they came along, what were they concerned about? The rabbis were worried that maybe this guy found a get in the street that happened to have his name on it, and has his wife's name on it, you know, from a different couple. He's a guy, save $10. I don't got to write a get now. Picks it up. And he's going to give it. So the rabbis were concerned that that might happen. So therefore they said, you know what? You need to say that it's l'shma. Oh, ve'acha mishum iguna ikilu barabanan. But since over here, we're going to be lenient because otherwise you're going to make the lady an aguna. Why? The guy's going to come now, right? The shaliyah. Husband's going to come along and say, husband. They bring this thing, so now the Bittin says, hey, how do we know this gets written l'shma? Well, hey, listen, really, with the Oraita, Rov, you gotta say, Rov is written l'shma. The Bimi goes with the minority, even the Bimi'ir. The majority of Sofrim know what they're doing. Oh, so what are you doing? The rabbis came along and said, you know what, still, I need a testimony over. You know what, I'm concerned, maybe the guy found the gate in the street. Okay, so you need a testimony, you should have two people. You know what? We're not going to drive everybody over here too crazy. One guy will be enough. You know what? Because to find a second guy is going to be a hard thing. And in the interim, the lady is going to be a aguna, meaning she's not going to be able to get married. So the rabbis were lenient to rely on one because of the aguna factor. To that, the Gemara says, hold it. Hay kulahu humrahu. You know, you're thinking that it's a leniency. But in truth, it's a stringency. Why is it a stringency? I'll tell you why it's a stringency. The Gemara says why. Because if initially you mandate that you need two people to come and testify that it's lishma, lo ate ba'al me'ar'eru pasile. Once the husband comes along and will claim, hey, the thing's a forge, I don't care what the husband says. When you have two witnesses that are claiming that the get is lishma, the get is kosher, the husband's claiming he can never undo it. However, had ate ba'alu me'ar'er upasile, which means now that you're only allowing one, you're giving the husband power to come along and saying it's a forge. So now it's one against one. Now what happens when it's one against one? You're back to square zero. Now ready to get this no good. Which means you're right, you're being lenient. You know, rabbis were very lenient to us. What were you lenient? One witness is enough to say it was lishma. Very good. But by the way, that leniency is a stringency now. You know why? Because by allowing one witness to say lishma, you're vulnerable. Because if the husband now shows up and says that things are fake, now it's his word against one witness. It's one against one. Now what's going to happen? The get is going to be nullified. So that leniency of using one keeps you vulnerable to the husband's claim. The Gemara said, we're not worried about that. You know why? Kevan de amar mor. Bifnei kaman notnola. When that shaliach comes to deliver the get, he can't just give the get to the lady alone. He has to give it in front of people that witness him giving over the get. And it's a machlok at how many witnesses have to see the shaliach give the get. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Hanina, had amar bifnei bet, ve'had amar bifnei gimal. Some say two witnesses have to see the shaliach deliver the get, and some say three. So you know what? Me'ikara medak daik, ve'lo ateh le'ur'en nafsheh. Which means like this. This shaliach, he knows he's going to have to give this get in front of witnesses. And therefore, you know what? When he gets the get from the husband, he's going to make sure that this get was written legally. He don't want to make himself a fool that he's going to give a get, that all of a sudden he's going to find out that he was fooling around. I mean, if he gave it privately, he's not scared. But if he's giving it in front of witnesses, this Shaliyah over here is going to be Medak Daik, which is when he was back home getting the get from the husband, he's going to make sure that this get was written on the up and up. He wants to make sure the get was written correctly. Therefore, let's speak it out. When one witness or that Shaliyah comes along and says, I know the get is the Shema, rabbis were really lenient to believe one witness over because Midrash Torah really you rely on Rov. Midrash Rabbanan, the rabbi suspected, you know what? Midrash Rabbanan will be lenient because we don't want to make the lady an aguna. Oh, but now if the husband comes, even if the husband comes, the Shaliyah has more ni'emanut than the husband. Because you know what? Right. Because you say, the husband over here, he's coming, it was a fake. We're going to say, listen, the Shaliyah wouldn't have brought that get unless he knew for sure that it's a legitimate get. You know why? Because he knows he's got to give it in front of witnesses. He don't want to ruin his own reputation that he's bringing a fake item. So you know what? Even though it's one against one, the Shaliyah wins in that case. Because he has a bigger ne'emanut than the husband himself. Look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Me'ikara medak dayik. Hashaliyah. Kishemekabelo miyada ba'al. When he's going to receive that get from the husband to deliver it, he makes sure that the husband is giving that get willingly. And he's certain that that husband's not going to come and have any claims. And even if he does, and even if the husband goes, hey, I didn't give it, it was a forge. You got to give the credibility to the Shaliyah in that case. He has more believability than the guy himself, than the husband himself. So therefore, let's just review what just took place over there and we're finished. Basically, what took place over here is on the Gemara's side to say that the reason why you have to say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtav is to establish lishma. That's only on a get that was brought from Chutz La'aretz. They're not fluent in the law. So the Gemara says, very nice. So who are you relying on? I'm relying on this one Shaliyah. At the time it was the Shema. Since when do you rely on one witness? Oh, when there's no Hazakah. But here it's going against the Hazakah of Eshet Ish. So he's not believed. You need two witnesses. Gemara concludes, you know what? Let's establish one thing over here. Really, to get this kasher or anything. Because you go with Rov. However, over here, the rabbis came along and said, we're not going to go with Rov because maybe the guy found the get in the street. Okay, but still you should need two witnesses because Midrash Rabbanan, you should need two witnesses. You know what? The rabbis waived the two witness law because we don't want to make the lady an agunah. We want to make it easier for her to get married. You're going to mandate two witnesses to claim the Shema. It's going to be very odd. Okay, but by only mandating one guy, it's vulnerable if the husband's going to come along and say that things are fake. Now it's one against one. Now you're stuck. No, you're not. You know why? The Shaliyah's believed over the husband. Why is the Shaliyah believed over the husband? Because he's Medak Dayik. Because he knows he's going to have to give that get in front of witnesses. And therefore, before he gets the get from the husband, he makes sure that this get over was kasher, the husband wants to give it for the right reasons and everything. And therefore, we're not worried, the husband. Even if the husband comes along and says, it's a fake, go home. This witness over here that's been a shaliyah, that's bringing it, he has a ne'emanut. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen. Amen.